So we're doing the last chapter of Hallel. This is the very last chapter of Hallel that's found in Tehillim. The end of Hallel has a bracha. So we're not going to discuss the bracha. That's just the end bracha, the end blessing to Hallel. But in terms of the Tehillim, this is the last chapter. Again, we've been dealing with chapters 113 to 118 in Tehillim, which is what we say during Hallel. And this is the very last one, and I believe this is also the longest one. This is the longest chapter of the Hallel. Last week, we discussed chapter 117. Chapter 117 is the shortest chapter, I think, in all of Tanakh, and certainly in all of Tehillim. It's two verses. The whole thing is two verses, and so we focused on those two verses last week. And this, in contrast, is, I believe, 29. Yeah, 29 verses. There are 29 psukim here, which is, I think it's the longest one in the Hallel. And we'll read it, and I think there's a specific theme here. One second. There is a theme here, which we will discuss, and I think it's appropriate that this is the last chapter. Yes?
Well, I just want to get oriented here. What chapter of
Tehillim, of Psalms. This is
of all Tehillim, but Hallel is not all of Tehillim.
The Hallel is 113 to 118. It's chapters 113 to 118.
Okay.
This
so
is chapter.
There are five chapters.
Yeah.
That are the end. Is this at the end of?
No, this is in the middle of Tehillim. This is in the middle of Tehillim, but this relates to praising. It has a strong focus on praising God.
Uh-huh.
Hallel is a focus on praising Hashem. They picked these five
okay.
for Hallel. Okay, so we'll go through this, and then I'll focus on specific verses also. But it is long. But try to pick up on a theme here, without me giving it away. Hodu Hashem ki tov ki lam chasto. Praise the Lord for He is good. His love is forever. His kindness is forever. Then Yomer na Yisrael ki lam chasto. Let the Jewish people. Say that Hashem's kindness is forever. His chesed, his kindness is forever. Yomru Noves Aaron Kilom Chasto. Then the house of Aaron, the Kohanim, specifically the priests, will then say the same thing, that his kindness is forever. And then Yomru Noyirei Hashem, those that fear God, they too will say Kilom Chasto. That Hashem's love, Hashem's chesed, His kindness is forever. Any theme here so far? Just from those first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The theme is that like everyone eventually will see that everything Hashem does is good.
Yeah.
All people.
I think there is a theme there also.
Like,
meaning you're saying that there are specific groups of people that are praising God.
There's always like that one person who feels like, oh my gosh, not me. Like my life is X, you know, or a group or this or that. So I would say that's what I see here.
That everyone's included. Everyone here is included. Okay.
Like each individual.
Each individual is included.
7 billion people. A lot of people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But it's interesting that you said that there's 7 billion people. Where do you see I think you're right. But where do you see the nations of the world within that category of those first four verses?
Give me a minute.
It says.
Those who fear the Lord.
It mentions the Jewish people.
Right.
It mentions the Kohanim, the priests. It mentions those that fear God.
Right.
Where does it mention the 7 billion people?
Maybe those that fear God. That could be 7 billion. That doesn't have to be Jews.
It could be. You're right. It could be the Yirei Hashem. It could potentially be the Yirei Hashem. There are those that say it's the very first one. The very first verse says, Hodu Lashem ki tov ki lam chasto. It doesn't mention a specific group.
Mm.
The second verse says the Jewish people. Then it says the Kohanim, the priests. Then those that fear God. The very first one, it doesn't mention, there's no specific group by the first one. It just says, Hodu Lashem Kito, we should go ahead and praise God. So who's that referring to? So some of the commentators explain that that's referring to the nations of the world. That it goes from the nations of the world to the Jewish people, to the priests, and then to those that fear God. It's sort of going in order of those that get closest to God. So there are those that do put it under Hodu Lashem Kito, that it's referring to the nations of the world. Any other theme here besides for including everybody?
His love is forever.
His love is forever. What do you mean by that? It's constantly repeated.
Yeah.
I think excellent. It doesn't say for each group it doesn't have a different phrase. It doesn't say, oh, for group X the phrase is as follows. The praise is as follows. For group Y it's a different phrase. Everyone has the same praise.
Yeah.
Everyone has the same exact praise. So the repetition, I think the repetition we'll see also throughout is definitely a theme here, the concept of repetition. Anything else? We have being inclusive, and then we have repetition. I think within the fact that it's inclusive is also the fact that it breaks it up into groups. There's the concept of everyone praising God, but there's also the concept that we have to have those different groups, even if they're saying the exact same words. Ki le'olam chasdo. That's the same exact words are said four times. But each group has a different way. They have a different... When they're saying it, they have something else in mind. That you could use the same words, but based on how attached they are to God, based on how much closer they are to God, so they'll be more meaningful or have perhaps a deeper meaning to those types of people. So it's repetition, but at the same time, it's divided up into different groups. That different groups, even within the same phrase, they'll understand it differently. They'll have a different understanding of it.
Maybe something like these groups can have a different relationship, kind of like when you have a child and you put in a lot of effort in that child, so when they grow up, your relationship with that parent or child is different. It's more intense.
Exactly. I think that's a great analogy, that these different groups represent different types of relationships with Hashem, and so therefore, even if they use the same words, when they praise God, it's going to mean something different to each group. So that's just within the first four. And in Hallel itself, when we say this in Hallel, we repeat this. We say, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lam Chasdo. If you're in davening, so then the chazan says it, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lam Chasdo, and then we respond back, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lam Chasdo. Then the chazan says, Yomar Na Yisrael, and we actually respond back, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lam Chasdo. So I think even within that, the response back is also an emphasis on this repetition. We don't respond back for all of Hallel. It's not like all of Hallel. There were different customs as to exactly which parts of Hallel we repeat and which parts we don't. But what we do practically is only with regards to this and another part, which we're going to discuss in a few minutes. But we repeat this. And I think part of the purpose of the repetition, of the chazan first saying it, and then we respond back as the congregation, is this emphasis on repetition. That the chazan says it, and we repeat. We have to have that repetition, and we'll see throughout that I think there is a theme here of repetition. And what's the concept behind, what's the idea behind repetition? What's
drilling it in?
Drilling it in. I think drilling it in is part of it. Definitely part of it. Drilling it in. But also, if someone did you a major favor, so what's the natural reaction is to thank them, is to concept of hakar satov, of being thankful. For what they've done, but when you're in that situation, what do? You don't just if it's a major favor, if someone did you really something of significance, so you thank them, but you constantly thank them. You bring it out. You don't just say oh thank you and then walk away, but you constantly want to thank them. The next time you see them, you thank them again. You remind them of the chesed that they did for you, the kindness that they did for you. So I think that's what's going on here. We repeat it to drill it in, but that also should be our reaction. When this is referring to the times of Mashiach, but also when God does things for us nowadays, we have to recognize and see God's hand, and then we have to thank God for what He's done for us, and it should be repetitive. We would have to have that same feeling, that those emotions that happen when another person does a favor for us. So then also when God does favors for us as well, we should also have that reaction. Yeah.
It just kind of reminds me, though, of sometimes I'll say a prayer, say I'm davening the Amidah, and I may not say the first one with enough kavanah. I've been told you can't go back and repeat it.
Yeah.
So just because you're using Hashem's name in vain, but you're saying that you would say that I could go back and repeat it because I want to be more.
Well, this is this you could repeat. This is a little different than prayer. Than this is coming from Tehillim. So these are verses within Tehillim. Our prayer, our Shemoneh Esrei, is not it's not based off specific psukim, specific verses. So you're allowed to say psukim whenever you want. When it comes to verses, you're allowed to say that whenever you want, because the prayer was was made by Chazal, made by the leaders of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the Great Assembly. So they instituted something which is specific for Shemona Esrei, specific for tefillah, for davening. So that you can't repeat. That you're not supposed to repeat because you're only supposed to say that once. There is a concept of a tefillah snedava. There is a concept that if you said Shemona Esrei already, to then say Shemona Esrei again, there is such a concept of saying Shemona Esrei again if you want. Not to go back in the middle of your Shemona Esrei, but if you finish Shemona Esrei, to then go back and repeat it, there is, as just a voluntary tefillah, there is such a concept. We say that nowadays you shouldn't do it because we don't pay attention even to the first one. So we have a hard time concentrating for the first one. So we say, you know, just focus on the first one. Don't try to add more if you're not going to be able to concentrate anyways. But there is such a concept that did exist in the times of the Talmud that did exist. But we say that nowadays we can't concentrate, so we don't have it. But you shouldn't go back in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. It's just to repeat it after you finished. Okay. Let's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. These four first verses. Is this in the Haggadah? This is in the Haggadah.
It's
something.
It would be in the Hallel. It's in the Hallel of the Haggadah. Yeah. In the Haggadah itself, at the end of Hallel. At the end of the Haggadah, there's Hallel, yeah. But it's coming from the regular Hallel. It's the same as the regular Hallel.
Okay.
I mean, it has more there, but it also includes the regular Hallel.
Okay.
It's just important just to note, there's a dispute here as to whether these verses are referring to the times of Mashiach, when Mashiach will come, or some say it's when David HaMelech, when King David became the king. This was also said when King David became the king. And he was in a lot of wars, but he instilled a certain amount of peace within the nation. There was peace after he fought a lot of wars and he won. There was a lot of peace within the nation. And so the different groups of people here are now praising Hashem for allowing David to defeat the enemies. So it could either be referring to the times of Mashiach or during the times of David HaMelech, during King David's time. Okay, let's go on. I think we're going to have to go one by one because I don't think we're going to have time to do everything and then go back. Min hametzer karasi ka anani bamerchav ka. Min hametzer karasi ka. From the in my distress, I called unto Hashem. And anani bamerchav ka. And Hashem answered me bamerchav, in abundance. If you think of the word, if you look at the words Meitzar and Merchav are in contrast to each other. If you know Hebrew, I don't think it has it really in the English, but Meitzar, what is Meitzar? It's very narrow. It's narrow. Meitzar is narrow. So, Min HaMeitzer Karasi, I called out to God. It means in distress, but it's also
in dire straits.
Yeah, he has a picture of being very narrow. He's And then the response is Anani Bamerchav, that Hashem responded to me Bamerchav, in abundance. That God responded to me in abundance. I was constrained, I was very narrow. But God responded back to me in abundance. He allowed me to open up. And that's what it's saying here. And then Hashem li lo ira mayase li adam. Hashem li, Hashem is for me, Hashem is on my side. I have no fear. Mayase li adam. What could man do to me? When God is on my side, so then I have nothing to fear. I don't have to fear from my enemies. Man is on my side. Hashem is on my side. I don't have man to fear from. And then again it says, Hashem li be'ozrai. Hashem is for me, be'ozrai. Hashem is helping me. Vani ere. Bisonai. This is in verse 7 here. Hashem is my helper. Ani era bisonai. I will see the downfall of my enemies. So I will see the downfall of my enemies. I think here again, from verse 6 and verse 7, it's also repetition. In both times it says, Hashem li. Hashem is with me. And then it says, Lo ira, I have nothing to fear. Hashem li be'ozrai. Hashem is with me. He is my helper, as my helper. There are different ways to understand verse 7, whether it's that Hashem is with me as my helper, meaning I have Hashem to rely upon. Hashem is my helper. I don't have anybody else to rely upon. I have Hashem, I have God to rely upon. Others explain it that Hashem li ba'ozrai, Hashem is with me amongst my helpers. Not that he is my only helper, but he's. I have other people who are helping me out, and Hashem is there along with us. He's with us, helping us out. Okay. The Malbim here, one of the famous commentators, he explains that there's a focus here on relying on Hashem, that I have to rely on Hashem. Also, in the next couple of seconds, let's read the next two first. Tov lachasos b'Hashem mibitoch ba'adam. Tov lachasos b'Hashem mibitoch b'nedir. That's 8 and 9, verse 8 and 9. It's good to rely on Hashem, to fall back on Hashem, than man, and it's better to trust in Hashem, in God, over the Nedivim, over those that are the princes, those that are in charge. But again here, 8 and 9 is also repetitive. It's also repetitive. So 7 and 8 is repetitive. 6 and 7 is repetitive. And also here, 8 and 9 is also repetitive. So we're seeing this theme of repetition. The Malbim here says that Tov lachasos b'Hashem, it's better to rely on God more than on any other person, than any person. So he explains why. Why is it better to rely on God than on people? Why ultimately do we have to rely on God? And he gives two reasons. Anybody?
Well, Hashem is reliable. He's always there.
He's always there. Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Well, friends could come and go, but your faith in Hashem is all...
It's always there. Okay.
I mean, people are limited. What they can do.
Excellent. So these are the two. Excellent. These are the two that the Malbim says. So the Malbim says that, first of all, Hashem is always your supporter. Hashem always wants to help you out. When it comes to people, so, you know, sometimes you can trust them, sometimes you can't. But God, you know, you can trust. Hashem wants the best for you. So we could always trust in Hashem. And then the second point is that even if you have a good friend, and you know that you could trust your friend, but there's only so much that a friend could do. Yeah, people are limited in terms of how much power they have, how much they could accomplish. But when it comes to God, so then God could do whatever he wants. God has the ability to do whatever he wants. So for those two reasons, he says that's why we have two verses here, for these two different reasons of Tov lachasos b'Hashem, that it's better to rely on God than on any specific individual.
That's
anybody.
Really hard. Like, I mean, that sounds really nice and it makes sense, but that's very hard to do. Like, I think, like, I'm a mere mortal that needs a response right away.
I don't think this means that, you know, you should rely on God, and if you're in a certain situation, so then you shouldn't use the people around you to help you. I don't think it means that you shouldn't use the resources that are around you. It means that you have to put in the effort to make sure that you get help from others, but ultimately you have to think deep down that God is going to be the one that's going to help me out. I have to use my resources. I have to use my friends. But deep down inside, you have to realize that God is the one that's ultimately going to be the one that helps us out. That itself is also a high level. I agree. That's a high level to reach as well. But that's something that that is a goal that we should try to feel, that it's God that's the one that's helping us out. Okay, verse 10. Kol goyim sevavuni b'shem Hashem ki amilam. And then 11. Sabuni gam sevavuni b'shem Hashem ki amilam. So again, the repetition here. All the nations of the world are surrounding me, and I call out b'shem Hashem. I call out in the name of Hashem that Hashem will destroy them because they are my enemies. Our commentators explain that this is referring to the war of Gog and Magog, the war of the end of days. Prior to the times of Mashiach, before Mashiach comes, that there'll be this big war where the enemies of the Jews will attack them. And then again here in verse 11, it repeats it, that Sabuni gam sevavuni b'shem Hashem ki amilam. They will surround me, and I will, by the name of Hashem, they will be destroyed. And then also in verse 12, Sabuni kedvorim do'achu ke'esh kotzim b'shem Hashem ki amilam. They have surrounded me like bees, and they will be like thorns, Doachu ke'ish, but they'll be extinguished like burning thorns. They'll become extinguished, even though they are surrounding me like bees, and I will call out to Hashem to destroy them. So they're surrounding you like bees. So if you,
I'm definitely allergic to bees. I can relate to this.
Okay, but if you're being surrounded by bees, not just that there's just one bee in the room, but if you're surrounded by bees, so they're at you, they're attacking you, so the enemy is attacking you, but we pray to God that they will be destroyed, and ultimately they will be destroyed. So verse 13, Dachod d'chisani linpol v'Hashem azarani, Dachod d'chisani linpol, like you pushed me to fall, you pressed me hard and I almost fell, but v'Hashem azarani, Hashem has helped me. So that I think is also in connection with the next verse. Verse 14, Aziv Zimras Ka Vahili Lishua, that Hashem is my helper and Hashem is my savior. So again, a lot of these are repetitive from consecutive verses are being repetitive here. 11 and 12 and also 13 and 14. 13 and 14 is about Hashem helping us. It uses the language of Ozri, Ezer, that Hashem is helping us. And then Aziv Zimras Ka Vahili Lishua, that Hashem is our savior. Hashem is saving us. What is the difference between Ezer, that Hashem is helping us, and then in 14 it says Yeshua, that Hashem is saving us? So the commentators pick up on the difference between Ezer, that Hashem is helping us, versus Yeshua, where Hashem is, in verse 14, Hashem is saving us.
So Ezer is like when you're in trouble, and Yeshua is like when it's like, there's no hope. No way you're gonna get out of this.
Well, Yeshua is being saved. Yeshua is the salvation.
Right.
So the first one is when.
It's like when you're it's an issue, it's a problem, and like Yeshua is like when there's no hope, like there's no way.
And then Hashem saves you in that situation.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. That's not an explanation that I saw, but that is interesting. Any other thoughts on the difference between Azir and Yeshua?
Like completion.
Which one's completion?
Yeshua is completion.
Yeshua is completion. So they explain that Ezer is when Hashem just, you know, he saves us at the moment. Hashem protects us from the enemies. Yeshua is when we're able to defeat the enemy, when we're able to completely defeat the enemy. There's a difference between being protected, but then also having the ability to defeat, to overcome and to defeat. And so that's what Yeshua is. Yeshua is that ability to defeat. Kol Rina Yeshua Boleit Tzadikim Yemin Hashem Osechayel. They say this is referring to the times of Mashiach. Kol Rina Yeshua Boleit Tzadikim. In the tents of the righteous, there will be this kol, this voice of Rina Yeshua, of singing and of salvation. And what are they singing? Yemin Hashem Osechayel, the right hand of God, Osechayel. He's strong. He's a warrior. He performed. He defeated the enemy. And then again in 16, Yemin Hashem Romei Ma, Yemin Hashem Osechayel. So this repetition again of the right hand of God. It first says the right hand of God was a warrior. Yemin Hashem Romei Ma, the right hand of God was on top in verse 16. And then again it repeats Yemin Hashem Osechayel. It repeats again the fact that Yemin Hashem, the right hand of God, was Osechayel. He was strong. He was a warrior. So again, here we see the repetition. The Malbim here explains, he has a beautiful idea here. He says, Yemin Hashem Osechayel is when we're talking. Yemin Hashem Osechayel is that we say that the right hand of God he's a warrior, that he's able to defeat the enemy. I think when we discuss the enemy here, the simple explanation, I think, is referring to the enemy that's trying to attack us. This is referring to the war of the end of days. It's referring to the enemy that's trying to attack us, but the deeper sense of it is that our enemies are attacking us because we're Jewish. It's an attack against our belief system. It's against Judaism, the values of Judaism. And we're saying that God will protect us from that. God will defeat that so that we will no longer have the nations of the world attack our belief system, but everyone will come to the recognition of God, that they'll see God and recognize God. The Malbim says that when we say Yemin Hashem Osechayel, when we say that first verse of when we praise God for his strength, for being a warrior, so the reaction to that is that Hashem responds, that as in that manner, that Hashem will then defeat the enemy. Then it requires our calling out to God, that we recognize that Hashem is the one in charge, that he could defeat the enemy, and then Hashem will respond based on our call to him, that Hashem will then defeat the enemy, and then we can respond back, Yimin Hashem Osachayil, the same exact praise, that we saw what Hashem just did, Hashem just defeated the enemy, and then we can respond back, that's what happened. So it's everything is a response. We initiate, our calling to God initiates this whole cycle. God responds based on our calling out to him, our davening to him, and then we respond back with the thanks over what Hashem just did, what God just did. So there's a cycle here of calling out to God and then God responding. Then we continue in verse 17. Lo amos ki echya v'asaper maseka. These are also, a lot of this is different. They have different tunes and the different songs to this. So it's nice to think of these tunes as you're going through this. Lo amos ki echya v'asaper maseka. I will not die. I will not die ki echya. Rather, I will live v'asaper maseka, and I will tell over the stories of your actions, God. I will tell over the stories of your actions. The Malbim explains that he's saying that I know that I won't die because Hashem will allow me to live so that I will tell over the actions of God. That it has to be that I will live, God will allow me to live so that I could then, for a reason, it's not just so that I'll live, but to do PR, exactly, to do PR, to tell the world about what happened to me, the fact that God let me live. There's a medrash that says that the Malach HaMaves, the angel of death, approached Moshe Rabbeinu, approached Moshe and told him that it's time for you to go. You're 120, it's time for you to go. So there's a whole back and forth. Moshe's trying to get out of it with the angel of death. I don't know if it's literal or not literal, but there are messages behind it. And so he tells the angel of death, one of the conversations is, you can't let me die because God knows that if I live, so then I will tell the Jewish people of how great God is, and so you can't let me die. I have a mission to accomplish, and they quote this verse. The Medrash quotes this verse to show this idea that God will let us live in order to then praise His actions.
And He will punish first.
But we're
punished. The Lord punished me severely, but not.
Yeah, that's the next verse. That's the next verse. That there's punishment involved. Yes, that's also the next. That's the next verse. In 18, let's read it now. Yasur yisrenu ka v'lamavis lo nisanani. That Hashem has punished me, but He has not brought death upon me. So there is punishment involved. The commentators here explain that this is punishment of a cleansing. This is verse 18. Of a cleansing process. This goes back to why we do get punished and why bad things happen. But there is a need to have that punishment, but not to have ultimate death. This is 18.
What do I live?
Yirches.
Yasar, right?
Yasar Yisrani Kavala Mavis Lon Itzanani.
Okay.
Yirches.
What does this word mean?
Yesur is punishment.
Okay.
That Hashem punishes us. Then verse 19, going on. Verse 19 till the end. Now, potentially, we'll get to it in a minute. But Pishuli Shari Tzedek Ba'obavam Odeka. Verse 19, open up the gates of righteousness. Shari Tzedek, the gates of righteousness. Avavam Odeka, let me enter so that I will praise Hashem. So what are we referring to when we say Shari Tzedek, the gates of righteousness? Open up the gates of righteousness and I will come and praise Hashem. So any suggestions? What?
Piety and
is this a physical gate or not a physical gate? No. So one, according to some, it's a spiritual gate that open up the gates of righteousness so that I can then go out and call to you. So some explain that it's referring to it's not a physical gate, but it's a metaphor of some spiritual gate that I could call out to you. And others explain that it's referring to the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Holy Temple. That it, these are physical gates, but it's about opening up in the times of Mashiach. We'll get the third Beis HaMikdash, the third of the Holy Temple will be rebuilt. And we'll be able to go in and praise Hashem.
Why don't they translate it? It's not in English. Open the gates of Mashiach. It's victory. Like, how is...
Victory is not the right word.
Like, you've said it a few times, just notice that this translation seems to be...
I don't know. I don't take responsibility for the English translation.
That's always the case, so that's why we always need to learn. Like, yeah. We always need someone to kind of help us along, because it's not good enough just to read it.
But a basic word like tzedakah?
Yeah.
I've never seen it too.
They don't... Even that translation is... Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that translation.
Say that, because I was reading a Seder this morning, that it's a new one, and they've changed some words also, and I'm looking at it. What?
But you know, translation is a commentary in itself.
It is, it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to know the Hebrew.
Mm. And you don't have to. My translation is also commentary, so don't trust me either.
Because you're a man, you have to trust in God.
Saying that. Don't treat others with the Torah, treat others the way you want to treat yourself, and the rest of the Torah's commentary.
Yes. Yeah. So open up the gates of righteousness. This is referring to the fact that somebody who has been saved has to go in and praise Hashem for what he's done to them. I mean, victorious does fit within the context, the overall context, about the fact that we've defeated the enemy. So it is within the context, it makes sense. But this is referring to somebody who has been saved, and that they should go out and praise Hashem and thank Hashem for what Hashem has done to them. Also, who's talking here? Who are they talking to? It says, Pishuli, open up. Who should open up the gates?
Hashem.
So some explain that it's referring to Hashem. Hashem should open up the gates so that we could then talk to Hashem, so that we can thank Hashem. Others explain that it's not talking to Hashem, but it's talking to those around us. Open up the gates of righteousness, that we should do it as a group. We should do it as a community. That as a community, we should go ahead and open up the gates of righteousness so that we could go ahead and thank Hashem together. Which is also a powerful thought. It is a powerful thought. I think I once wrote an article this year on the meaning of Shari Tzedek in the context of the shul. So the Shari Tzedek, I think, is very appropriate for the name of a shul, because here it's about people coming together to praise Hashem. Pishuli Shari Tzedek is that we should open up the gates of righteousness, that it requires, it's a community effort to together praise Hashem. We have to do it all together. So I thought,
yeah, Shlomo Karlbach sings this, right?
Yeah, sure.
And I think his whole point is that, you know, he always spoke about brotherhood in the context of the whole world, not just men, but that we should all try to get along and be moving together as one and not fighting with one another. That was his point of putting this to song.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, isn't it also, though, that, like, if you just think of energy, like, good, solid
environment,
and not energy kind of stuff, that the more you have, the stronger
together for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. You need that. You need that. You need that support system. You need everyone to
be
together.
A force.
Yeah. Okay. So Zeh Hashar LaHashem Tzadikim Yavo Vo. This is the gate of Hashem Tzadikim Yavo Vo. Let the righteous people come in. Odecha ki ani sani vatili lishua. In verse 21. I'll acknowledge the fact that you responded to me, you answered me, Vatihi Lishua, and you were my salvation. And then 22, Evan Masu Abonim, Haisa Lerosh Pinah. Evan Masu Abonim, the stone, eventually became the foundation. It was a rejected stone that became the Lerosh Pinah, the foundation of everything. What is this referring to? What stone? What is this referring to? The stone. So it's not referring to the Beit HaMikdash, it's referring to the Jewish people. The Jewish people, as one explanation, is the Jewish people was the stone that was rejected by the world.
That's so cool.
So the stone that's it's very cool. The stone that's rejected by the world eventually becomes the Rosh Pina, becomes the foundational stone. It becomes the foundational stone upon which everybody else, the rest of the world, will build upon. So it's a great pasuk, it's a great verse.
Yeah.
Others explain that it's actually referring to David HaMelech, King David himself. King David himself was, if you know his life at all, so he was, before he became king, he was constantly being rejected by Shaul. And even he was the youngest child of seven or perhaps eight, and he was viewed as the lower one. And then he himself grew to be the king that he was. But it's also referring to the Jewish people. So Me'es Hashem Ha'isazos He Niflos Be'inenu. This all came from Hashem. This wondrous hand of God we saw with our eyes. Zeh Hayom 24. Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismecha Bo. Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem. Hashem. This is the day that Hashem did this. Nagila V'Nismecha Bo. This is the day of rejoicing. And then we say Ana Hashem Hoshiana Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. And so this verse 25 is what we repeat also in Shul during Hallel. Ana Hashem Hoshiana Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. So who is? What did you say?
I don't know what that means again. Like I just.
So it's Ana Hashem is like please Hashem, Hoshiana. Save us, you are a savior. Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. Please Hashem Hatzlichana, you will also provide success. So the Malbim here again says, what's the difference between Hoshia and Hatzlicha? So it's the same difference that we mentioned earlier. Hoshia is about being saved. It's just you're in a bad situation. You're in a time of need, so Hashem will save you. That's Hoshia. Hatzlicha, success, is very different. Success is not just being saved, but it's overcoming. It's about to winning. It's about succeeding. So that's what we're saying. Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. In the commentators explain that the who's saying this? Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. This is the Kohanim. The Kohanim are saying this to those that are coming into the Beis Hamikdash. This is referring to the times of Mashiach, the third Beis Hamikdash. That the Kohanim are telling this over to those that are coming into the Beis Hamikdash, that Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, Hashem will save you. And it says, Baruch Haba, connects to the next verse, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, Berachnucham Mibes Hashem. This is verse 26. Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. So it's saying, those who enter, you will be blessed. Those who are coming to the Beis Hamikdash, they will be blessed. Berachnucham Mibes Hashem, they will be blessed by the house of Hashem. The Beis Hamikdash will bless them. And I find this very interesting. The Malbim says that the next, including this verse, the next three verses are referring to the Birchas Kohanim. We have Birchas Kohanim, where the Kohanim, the priests, bless the nation. So we have that in Israel. If you go to Israel, that happens every day in Israel. If you go to Tefillah, every day during Tefillah, the Kohanim, they bless the nation. We only have that during our holidays. During our holidays, so we have Birchas Kohanim. We just had it on Shavuos, where the Kohanim would bless us. So the three blessings are Yevarechecha Hashem V'Yishmerecha. That's the first one, that Hashem will bless us. He says that's parallel to what we just read, Birachnucha Mibes Hashem, that Hashem will bless us. Let's go to the next verse, 27. Kel Hashem V'Yar Elanu Yisrochag B'Avosim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. The Hashem God, Vayar Lanu, He will provide light for us. God will provide light for us. He will bless us, and He will then provide light for us. Yisru Chag B'Avosim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach is referring to the fact that the Karbanos used to, the sacrifices, the animals used to be tied before they were actually brought on the Mizbeach. They would be bound, tied, yeah.
Okay.
And so it's referring to Karbanos. But Vayar Lanu, the fact that Hashem will provide light, that's the second blessing of the Birchas Kohanim. It says, first, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, is the first one. Yar Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha, that Hashem will provide light. He will provide light for us. And then the third one is the next verse. Keli ata ve'odeka elokai yarom mecha. You are our God. This is verse 28. Ve'odeka, and I will acknowledge you, I'll praise you. Elokai yarom mecha. You are Hashem, and I will extol you. Aromeka is like a higher form. I will extol you. So the last verse of the Birkas Kohanim is Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom. Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that Hashem will accept it. So since this is referring to a sacrifice, Hashem accepts our sacrifice, and Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom, and as a response, Hashem will, he will turn his face towards us. Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom, and then he will bring peace to us. This has nothing to do with our verses, but in Birchas Kohanim, the very end is V'yaseim l'cha shalom, that he'll bring peace. I think we've mentioned this in the past, that peace is always the concluding blessing. Even in the Shemona Esrei itself, the last blessing is Sim Shalom. It's about peace. So also here, V'yaseim l'cha shalom, it's about peace. Regardless of how much blessing Hashem gives upon you, or the light that he gives to you, if we don't have peace at the end, if we don't have inner peace, that we feel satisfaction, accomplishment, that we're in a good place, if we don't have that inner peace, so then the blessings are really meaningless. Hashem could give tons of blessing. If we don't have that shalom, if we don't have that inner peace, so then it's that blessing will fall by the wayside. And that's true. If Hashem gives a person a lot of blessing, but they don't feel that inner peace, they don't feel satisfied, they don't feel accomplished, so then they'll never feel happy with the blessings that they've received.
Gratitude.
One last point. Ki liatav odeka lo kairum mecha. On this, the Nitziv, also a commentator on Chumash, he explains, Ki liatav odeka. Keli is my God. That's a personal God. That's referring to, you are my personal God. Ve'odeka, and I will acknowledge you, I will praise you. That's a personal God. I will have that ability to praise you directly. Elokai Aromeka. The second half is, it's not my God, but you are God of everybody. Aromeka. When you're God of everybody, so it won't be a personal praise back, but it's I will praise you on a higher level. I will extol you. It won't be that personal response, but it's just a response of how great you are in general terms. We mentioned this before, that based on how much of a relationship you have with God, so then you'll have a different type of praise to God. And then finally, the last verse, Hodu Lashem Kitov Kililam Chasdo, it repeats, and I think this is very important in terms of the overall theme of this chapter, it repeats the very first verse of the whole chapter. The first verse of the chapter is Hodu Lashem Kitov Kililam Chasdo, right? Praise you, God. The very last verse is the same exact words. It's Hodu Lashem Kitov Kililam Chasdo. And I think it's there to emphasize the theme of the chapter, of this chapter, which is one of repetition. That you have to constantly repeat it. That when you have that emotion of thanking Hashem, so then that's your have a response of repetition, of constantly thanking God. Okay, so we've concluded Hallel.
Yay.
So I hope over the last 45 minutes you've been thinking about what we're going to do next.